Eye of the Beholder by Quinsett. Read by Cookie Mom 6067. Chapter 1. The Old Guard Sexy Calendar. Make love to the camera. Nikki hates that sentence as intensely as he hates flashbulb lights, paparazzi, award shows, talk shows, profile interviews, and just about everything to do with being a celebrity, and nothing to do with being a good, reliable athlete. He genuinely got a secondhand embarrassment when a paparazzo shouted this exact line at him during one of the rare black tie events he had attended only because his contract specifically stipulated it. The Italian death glare he gave the poor paparazzo could wilt a screaming mandrake. Unfortunately, it is also a sentence that he has come to associate with Joe, thanks to various commentators, both sports and otherwise, who throw it out at least once when they talk about him, in several languages, no less. Here is Al Kazzani doing what he does best in and outside the game, making love to the camera, throwing a kiss. Did you see that cheeky little wink? Al Kazzani can't help making love to the camera. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, after an intense 24-hour match, the golden snitch. Can you blame Al Kazzani for kissing it like it's the love of his life? Look at that wink. He's making love to the camera. Who can resist? Nikki cringes every time he hears it, of course. But needless to say, he also secretly, embarrassingly, wholeheartedly agrees that Joe Al Kazzani is very, very good at making love to the camera, and that can't be good for Nikki's heart, especially now that he's about to witness the act happening live in front of his eyes. Nikki is currently heading to a photo shoot to pose as a model. How did he get there? Joe, of course. He should have escaped to Italy when he caught Joe and Andy huddling after practice, with Andy saying good luck to Joe with that smirk. He should have made an excuse not to grab dinner with Joe after. He should have said a firm no instead of sighing when Joe asked him to take Booker's recently vacated spot as Mr. November in the Old Guard's annual sexy calendar shoot. Not the official title, thank God. He should have stopped Joe from talking about how the calendar is the Guard's best-selling merchandise, instead of staring too long at Joe's dimples. He should have changed the subject, instead of sipping more wine to hide his blush when Joe said, I know you only do this kind of thing for a good cause, Nikki, and told him that the featured players get a portion of the profit donated to their charity of choice. Nikki should have kept his poker face when he asked how large that portion was, and Joe had quoted almost four times his prediction, and Nikki was pretty sure he looked like a besotted fool when Joe said he would donate his share of the profit to Nikki's charity of choice. Joe is Mr. December, ostensibly the centerpiece of the calendar, which he obviously enjoys immensely. Nikki should have insisted that he's a bad model, because honestly he is. He's been told he had the charisma of a Dementor by the Quibbler. Instead of staring at Joe's hand when it grabbed his wrist as he said, I'll be there with you, Nikki, and I'll have your back, just like you've got mine on the pitch. We'll be beautiful together, I promise. Deal. Joe's fingers are so beautiful. He is beautiful. Nikki said yes, because Nikki is a weak man. Nikki was also quite possibly drunk. And now here he is, stone-cold sober, standing in front of a warehouse-like building in some industrial part of the city, carrying a duffel bag stuffed with his Quidditch gear and the leather case containing his broom. The universe seems to be laughing at him, because emblazoned at the front of the rusted, corrugated metal facade of the warehouse is a signboard that says, The Lost Collective, which is precisely how he feels at the moment. Lost. Stepping closer to the building, he spots the sign that says, The Old Guard Shoot, with a glowing arrow pointing inside. The guard has apparently booked the creative studio to produce the calendar shoot for the whole day. The shoot times for the players are staggered, and Nikki has a slot toward the end of the business day. What kind of name is Lost Collective? Nikki isn't sure that's a good business name, but what does he know of fancy photo shoots? His question is answered as he ventures deeper into the warehouse, discovering another signboard that says Luna Obscura Storytelling Collective in cursive below the lost collective sign. Nikki will take the overly patriotic Quidditch club names over these weird artsy-fartsy creative studio names any day. The glowing arrow moves with him inside, flitting this way and that through a series of corridors until it dissipates in front of a door. Nikki pushes the door open to practically land on another planet. Well, almost. There are the equipment scoreboards and goalposts inside, but it's not the real ones meant for a game. They're props, albeit fancy-looking ones. The warehouse is huge. Two giant backdrops occupy its center while flying cameras, flashing lights, assorted props, and people he doesn't know fill out the rest of the space. There is music that somehow sounds both upbeat and sultry at the same time. There is a low buzz of conversation and things being wheeled about, racks of clothes, fake trees, bouquets of flowers, and there is someone screaming for more intensity. He's wondering if it's too late to sneak out and call in sick when he hears Niall's voice. Nikki, over here! He catches her waving, standing a little further with June, obscured by an arch overgrown with shrivel figs, dittany, and purple roses. Nikki is glad to find familiar faces, though that effectively dashes his escape plan. I can't believe you're actually Mr. November, she practically squeals. I thought Joe was pulling my leg. I wished that too, Nikki says, taking in Niall's dramatic winged eye makeup, which features tiny golden feathers that make her look like a mythical creature. Next to her, June is resplendent, in a billowy dress the color of sea foam and sunshine, her hair threaded with pearls. Nikki already feels like a failure. Something in his voice prompts Niall to slap his back, put her arm around his waist, and give him a reassuring squeeze. Hey, you'll do great. I was so nervous during my shoot, too, but everyone on the set helped. And it was so much fun, Nikki. I know you have a big shoe to fill, but you're going to nail it. I swear on Sexy Booker.
Sexy Booker?
Nikki raises his eyebrows.
Which Sexy Booker? June laughs.
Duh, peak Sexy Booker. The 2010 Sexy Booker. June shrieks gleefully. Not the nipple ring Booker. Nikki has so many questions.
Oh, right. You're new-ish, Niall says as she looks at Nikki's face. Let me show you. We need to get you to hair and makeup anyway.
With that, she tugs Nikki to a small room populated with several makeup stations. At the far end of the room is a fireplace, and above it hung a close-up picture of Booker in his goalie regalia mid-flight, blocking a quaffle. It's majestic, for sure, but sexy?
Oculo extendus, Niall says, waving her wand, and the picture disappears. In its place is another close-up of Booker, looking straight to the camera, wearing a simple and oh-so-snug unbuttoned shirt, which he takes off to reveal.
Che cavolo!
Nikki gasps, horrified and fascinated, but mostly horrified, as the ladies squeal in unison.
That looks painful.
Also, thanks to that year where he billeted at the Le Livres, Nikki still considers Booker as family, and he does not need to see that.
Who swore by peak sexy Booker, Joe's voice says behind them. Ms. August or Ms. June?
Nikki is a little afraid to turn back and see Joe, to see him in his element. Nikki generally doesn't handle Joe in his element well, but it's either his former mentor's nipple rings or Joe.
I did, says Niall, and I second it. I swear by peak sexy Booker, June adds.
Do you even want to know what you're all swearing to? Joe sidles up to Nikki, his chuckle, a warm honey to his ears. Nikki's nervous, but I swear that you'll make it fun for him, Niall says, looking up at Nikki with a twinkle in her eyes.
That's right. I'm taking responsibility to make sure our new Mr. November has a good time, Joe says, nudging Nikki with his elbow.
Nikki can't help the smile that tugs his lips. And of course, when he looks at Joe, Joe gives him a wink. Nikki doesn't know the makeup and hair people, but he is convinced that they quite possibly want him dead, because Joe is presently topless, and they have put something
oil his hindbrain supplies. They put oil on Joe to make every contour, every dip and swell of his muscles shine and well-defined. And of course, they've rimmed his eyes with coal and some delicate golden swirls that make the brown appear molten. "No nipple rings for you, don't worry," says Joe. "Not this time, at least." Nicky's at a loss for words, so he clears his throat. "Miss June, June, you're up next," Joe says. Niall declares loudly that she wants to see June shoot before trailing after her, squeezing Nicky's arm as she goes.
"I have so many questions. I'm not sure I want to know the answer to," Nicky says,
because he needs to fill that space between himself and Joe. It was a joke, a jibe. There was a hilarious fluff article in the Quibbler dedicated to this sexy, sad French man, noting how bizarrely sexy and sad he was, and declaring it's his peak sexy. We took it and ran with it, made it a ritual. Who knows? Maybe a sexy, scary Italian Mr. November will unseat peak sexy Frenchman as the new icon to swear by, Joe winks. Nicky hears his poker face crack inside his head, but he keeps his cool.
"I should have asked you more questions about this shoot," says Nicky, muttering, "Oculo restricto,"
quietly and waving his wand to restore the picture to its family-friendly version. Joe chuckles. "You would have if you found something you truly didn't understand. I know you always read your contracts thoroughly, down to the fine print. I'm not even sure you actually need a lawyer." Joe pivots to face Nicky, and Nicky follows. Nicky always follows. "Which means you have a clear idea of what awaits you here." Nicky refuses to get lost in Joe's eyes, so he focuses on his dimples instead. "You know what that means, Signor Niccolo Genovese?" Nicky only manages to raise his eyebrows. Those damn dimples. "You," Joe pokes an index finger on his chest, "are an intrepid, aspiring model." Then Nicky feels that finger poking his cheek. That's new and ridiculously juvenile. And Nicky kind of wants to wipe Joe's grin off, preferably using his own face, but he only manages an awkward head bop a little belatedly. "Get out of here, Alkezani." Joe laughs but tugs at his sleeve, steering him to one of the makeup stations. "Not before I deliver you to the makeup and hair people. Come on, let's get you dolled up." Nicky is truly a besotted fool who doesn't know what he has gotten himself into. Surprisingly, hair and makeup goes smoothly and without surprises. No nipple rings, grazie a Dio, and no fancy golden swirls either. There was an intense minute at the start when Joe's fingers brushed his cheek as he said something French to the makeup artist. Nicky didn't manage to catch what they discussed before Joe nodded, smiled, clasped Nicky's shoulder, and went out for his shoot. Joe must have said something about his cheekbones because now, thanks to some crafty shading, they look like they could cut your palm if you touched it. It's kind of magical in its own way. But Nicky is relieved that they didn't do anything more dramatic beyond that. That is, until his makeup artist, Jean-Philippe? Jean-Paul? Tells him to stand up and take off his shirt, waves his wand, and promptly removes all of his chest hair. By the time he is released into the main studio, Nicky is clad in full beater uniform, his broom included. It's a strange feeling, walking in, fully geared for a game, and yet feeling inexplicably like he is naked. Must be that body hair removal. It doesn't help that the chaotic energy of the studio has somehow got more intense. But then again, that seems to always happen whenever Joe is in the room. Joe seems to be glowing in the set. The backdrop is enchanted to mimic the starry midnight sky, with stars and a huge crescent artfully scattered about. He is perching on his broom, one leg bent on the handle, while the other dangles freely, wearing nothing but billowy pants made of semi-see-through material that showcases all the muscles in his legs, but cleverly hides his groin. Nicky is sure the material had been created specifically to lead the eyes to trace Joe's legs. Zooming and zipping all around Joe are golden snidgets, fluffy, round little birds that inspire the design of the golden snitch. Prior to the invention of the snitch,
Snidgets were used in its place for Quidditch. The bird has rotational wings that enable it to fly and hover in any direction. Snidgets are fragile creatures, and the human grip can easily crush them. Medieval Quidditch, which was notably more barbaric than its modern version, almost drove them to extinction. There are more than a dozen Snidgets around Jo. Upon closer inspection, Nikki can see the glimmer of a protective barrier surrounding the set, keeping the birds in. Jo has his eyes closed, and he is moving slowly, fluidly, changing his pose as the cameras click and flash around him, almost like he's dancing. He extends a hand, unhurried, and with that preternatural grace that all seekers seem to possess. Agility is paramount for seekers, and thus most seekers are lean and wiry. Nikki thinks that lean and wiry are inadequate to describe Joe's form, because he is also tall and sturdy and yet so flexible. A hand shoots up out of nowhere and yanks Nikki back.
"I'm going to stop you there, love, before you walk straight into that barrier," says a voice.
"Right, sorry," Nikki says sheepishly, turning to find a considerably shorter woman with a judgy stare.
"I'm Jita. I handle this chute," she says by way of introduction.
"Oh, I'm Nikki, I know. Fresh blood." Her mouth twists into something like an amused smile.
"You can stand over there if you're going to watch."
She indicates a corner where Nikki can see Niall, the wardrobe girl. Peaches? Plum? And a man he doesn't know, crowding around to watch Jo.
"Nikki, oh my God!" Niall says when he stands next to her. "Your face is amazing!"
Nikki is saved from having to react by Jita shouting,
"Jo, I need more sex, love!"
Nikki exhales. Niall snickers. On his broom, Jo closes his eyes and then opens them and just smolders.
"Getting there, love. Now look at that fluffy snidget like it's the love of your life. Okay, lovely. Now like you want to eat it. It's the most delicious thing in the universe, Jo. Everything you could ever want, and you are starving. Yes, amazing, baby. Now look at Vig, straight to Vig, darling."
Jo turns to the photographer who, Nikki just noticed, sits on a hovering carpet at an angle. His camera points at Jo.
"I thought flying carpets are outlawed in Britain," Nikki whispers to Niall,
because he needs to do something other than ogle Jo. That man is just too much.
"Not if it's for indoor use. Also, it's more of a flying rug," says Niall. "You're hot, Jo, but I don't feel you burning my ovaries yet. Aim for my ovaries, Jo. Destroy my ovaries."
Niall giggles and Nikki is a bit concerned. "Did she do that to me?" Niall finishes. "Oh, yeah, and I loved it. I destroyed her ovaries, Nikki," she preams. "I look amazing in my pictures. It works. She's like Andy blind drunk on Amortentia. It's hilarious." Nikki is not sure what face he's going to make if the woman shouts at him that way. It wouldn't be the first time a stranger did it to him, unfortunately. But this time he's not allowed to scoff and flee.
"Yes, yes, make love to that camera, Jo. Slake my thirst. Make it worse."
Nikki is a bit too far away to see Joe's expression, but there is a screen on a desk near to where he stands that displays the images taken by the photographer. There is one where Joe extends his arm, muscles glistening in all their glory, while a snidget perches on his index finger and another on his shoulder, and he laughs. There is one while he blinks slowly, a snidget hovering near his face, its thin beak almost touching his lower lip. And there is that smirk and a knowing quirk of his eyebrow while he stares straight to the camera. Nikki thinks he now knows the meaning of destroyed ovaries, or, since he doesn't have ovaries, slake his thirst and make it worse.
Oh, so much worse.
Nikki is grateful when Joe's session is over and Niall hands him a water bottle. He takes a long gulp, watching Joe gliding down to meet the man who stood near him earlier. He wears a dark green coat with patches that read Modesty Rabnot Snidget Reservation. He enters the barrier, talks to Jo for a bit before whipping out his wand to rescind the barrier and herd the Snidgets to a wheeled cage at the far end of the room. He extends a hand to shake at Joe, who says something. They both laugh and fist bump instead. Joe perks up when he sees Nicky and walks over to them. "Thanks, Cherry," he says as the wardrobe girl hands him a water bottle. She blushes. "Nicky," he says and stares as he drinks his water. "Jean-Jacques did a great job on your face," he says after. Nicky is possibly blushing too. His face feels hot. "Those Snidgets are so cute. I can't believe you managed to get them to perch on you." "Ah, Niall. Forever Nicky's saving grace." "It's the honey, Niall. They literally honey-coated me," says Joe. "I thought it's oil," says Nicky before he can stop himself. He busies himself by taking another gulp. "Almond oil and honey," says Joe, waggling his eyebrows. "Want to lick it off me?" Niall makes an appropriate retching noise. Over a year ago, when Nicky only knew Joe as that frustratingly cocky seeker with too much swagger and not enough self-preservation and annoyingly good hair, he might have been able to come up with an appropriate response. Today, though, he chokes. Both Niall and Joe fuss over him while Cherry carefully dabs his face with a small towel. Thankfully, Gita takes over. "You're next, Nicky," she says, taking a spot between them as Nicky clears his throat. "You've met," says Joe. "Yeah, this one almost walked straight into that barrier because you're too fine to look at, love," says Gita offhandedly. "What are you doing here? Don't you want to wash that honey coat off?" Nicky tries his darndest to school his face when Joe says, grinning unabashedly, "No, I promised Nicky I'd hold his hand. He's skittish. Be gentle with him." "Yeah, you told me." "Hear that, Vig? Be gentle with him, darling," Gita says to a man, the photographer, who seemingly appears out of nowhere. He shrugs and smiles at Nicky. He's tall, considerably taller than Joe, with a scruffy-looking beard. Nicky first notices a scar on his neck. He catches Nicky looking and makes a sign at him, mouthing, "Hi." "This is Vigna. He's behind the cameras," says Gita. "He doesn't talk much, but that's what I'm here for. Also, he hears you fine." Vig laughs silently. Nicky says a polite hello and signs appropriately. Vig beams. "I didn't know you're fluent in sign language," says Joe as they scoot over to the other backdrop to take Nicky's first picture. "Finally a language that I speak and you don't," Nicky says, feeling oddly triumphant. "I can start learning," Joe quips. The Old Guard's annual calendar is one of the club's best-selling collectibles and arguably its most lucrative merchandise. There are two versions of this calendar, which Niall has affectionately dubbed as the family-friendly FF version and the Thirst Trap TT version, which Andy refers to as the official one and the naughty one. The FF version features players in their full guard regalia doing what they do best while looking majestic. The TT version, which comes with a concealment charm for those under the age of 18 and a heftier price tag, includes hidden images that are decidedly more risque. Nicky handles the FF version just fine, because the shoot only requires him to do what he does best, flying about and knocking and batting bludgers. He just needs to remember that the bludgers are props and adjust his strength accordingly. Oh, and make sure he's not blocking his own face, which Gita yells at him for the most. Nicky doesn't catch all of the things she yells at him, but with the liberal amount of love, darling, babe, and even tesoro, puppet, and petals. Niall's assessment as her being like Andy soaked in love potion is accurate. Nicky may have faltered a bit when he realized that Joe is the one throwing some of the bludgers, but he quickly wrenches back his focus. He'll be damned if Joe manages to hit him with fake bludgers. They make him repeat a few prescribed movements before letting him fly freestyle and taking candid shots. It goes faster than Nicky anticipated. And when Gita declares it done, he is relieved to see Joe smiling like he's proud of him. "Not bad, Genovese. Not bad at all," Joe says, handing him his water bottle. Nicky takes the water, noticing that somewhere during his session, Joe has managed to wipe the honey coating off his skin. He tries not to feel bereft. "Where's Niall?"
asked Nicky by way of stopping himself from asking Joe about it. She had to run back to prep for the dinner party with the girls, Joe says. Ready to trap some thirst? He grins. Nicky winces. What does that even mean? Means it's time to take your shirt off, hot stuff, says Jita, wedging herself between them. Nicky takes a step back to give her space, only to bump into Vig. He can't understand how these two, with their extreme height difference, always manage to seemingly appear out of nowhere. Vig signs at him. We got some great shots, but you were a bit tense. You okay? I'm not a model, Nicky signs back. Vig tilts his head, then exchanges a look with Jita. She nods. I need a translation, says Joe, echoing Nicky's sentiment. We're going to make a model of Nicky, Joe, says Jita, then shouts, Cherry, could you strap him on, Petal? Nicky's eyes widen in horror.
Don't worry, Nicky. I bet it's not something you haven't put on yourself before, says Joe.
Nicky doesn't think he has ever put something on himself to trap some thirst, so he doesn't believe that one bit when the wardrobe girl ushers him to the small curtain fitting room. Take your shirt off and put this on, she says, handing Nicky something soft with a lot of leather straps through the curtain. Let me know if you need help with the straps. Nicky takes it, and he actually recognizes the thing. And no, he has never put one on himself. It is positively medieval, and Nicky is sure that thing has been outlawed in modern times. Deal. Joe absolutely knows that he is not needed at the shoot beyond showing up for his session, but organizing the guard's annual calendar shoot is one of the special things he enjoys outside of his training and obligations as a player. He views all the conceptualizing, liaising, and overseeing the shoot as a team bonding exercise, and he has managed to convince the front office to let him be involved on the creative side. He is eternally grateful they'd agreed, because seeing Nicky in tight white pants, leather boots, leather straps crisscrossing his chest and waist, accentuating his broad shoulders and his freckled skin while offering tantalizing glimpses of his abs, is a stuff straight out of fantasy. Joe's fantasy, that is. If no one else is fantasizing Nicky like this, then it is a failure of their imagination. Joe, this is medieval. We don't wear these anymore, Nicky complains as he emerges from the fitting room and walks over to the set. I'm not sure it's even legal to wear this. They've been obsolete as long as your snidgets were banned from the game. Joe laughs. It comes out low and a bit strange. Well, aesthetically, though, he shrugs. You look fan... he clears his throat. Fantastic. Well, well, now I know why this chess guard is illegal, says Jita. Yes, obviously it's just an accident waiting to happen, Nicky scoffs, pulling at a buckle as a leather strap is sliding down his arm. He stops dead when he sees Joe's face, though. Joe looks hungry. Nicky is saved from analyzing it too hard as Jita ushers him to the set, which is a plain white background. She directs him to sit on the ground. JJ, touch up his face, please, love, she shouts, and someone please bring the animals out and prep the barrier. Nicky closes his eyes as the makeup artist kneels before him and dabs brushes on his face. When he opens them again, he sees Joe approaching with something weighing his arms. He never knew he wanted to see Joe with fluffy kittens before, but he is grateful that he gets to see it now. Joe gently deposits the kittens on Nicky's lap. I have to say it again, Joe says as he watches a ginger kitten climb into Nicky's open palm. The animal shelter is a fantastic idea. You'll get these strays adopted in no time. Nicky snorts. Well, if they don't, at least the shelter will get enough to care for them for a while, he says. Then something clicks, and he looks a bit horrified. Wait. If I get your cut of the profit for the shelter, then what will you give your Snidget reservation? A lot. Don't worry about it. It's a place close to my heart anyway. No, Joe, seriously. That's shitty. I'm taking their cut. Nicky grips Joe's arm. No, Nicky. Joe puts his hand above Nicky's. I don't just get a player's cut. I get a producer's cut, too, because I help procure the sponsors for the shoot and whatnot. I mean it when I said don't worry. I have my fingers in a lot of pies. Modesty Snidgets will be well taken care of, he explains. Nicky is unconvinced, but Joe smiles and pokes his cheek again. It's all he needs to soldier on. Something soft lands on his shoulder, a pygmy owl, then a barn owl on his other shoulder. Who knew an ancient chess guard would be so useful as a perch? Nicky momentarily forgets his nervousness, lost in the playfulness of the animals surrounding him. They add adult cats and toads, too, and he's busy introducing himself to them. He has always felt more at ease interacting with animals. They don't require him to make small talk, and they're fluffy. Nicky notices Vig in front of him, his camera pointing at him. He's lying on his stomach, hovering a few inches off the ground on his flying rug. Nicky raises his eyebrows in a silent question. What do they want him to do? Play, Vig mouths. Nicky would have asked him to elaborate if one of the adult cats had not climbed into his lap and butted its head against his face. He laughs, deciding to just ignore the set until Gita yells at him to start modeling and destroying her ovaries. But Gita never yells at him. She seems content to let Nicky interact with the animals. They switch the animals around. Vig and Gita confer often while Joe throws some remarks every now and then about a particular animal that makes Nicky snort or roll his eyes. Nicky, that kitty has your eyes. I'm sure it's yours. I think that toad is nesting in your hair. It'll never move. Ah, you've talked that little owl to sleep. Look at it. When Gita's instructions come after a while, they are notably more subdued. They try a lot of poses with different combinations of the animals. Nicky, could you lie down, love? Hug that huge cat. Yes, lovely. Hold that position. Yes, like mid-push-up. You've got two owls and two toads on your back. It's amazing. Stay still. Don't jostle that owl and look straight at Vig. You don't need to smile. Fantastic. Extend your arm. We're going to let that barn owl fly to you. Hold still. Yes, amazing, darling. Okay, let the toad stay on your head. Look at the camera and wink. Slowly. Slowly. Okay, maybe not a wink. Just blink slowly, love. Sit facing away from the camera and put that kitty on your shoulder. The ginger one with the eyes like yours. Let it explore. Don't worry, it's playing with your straps. It won't fall. Look over your shoulder. Yes, you're doing great, sweetie. By the time Gita declares it's a wrap, Nicky thinks he's done a full set of calisthenics with the animals, which didn't feel as weird as it sounds. Also, the look on Joe's face is something Nicky will replay inside his head. Probably a lot more than he should. Thank you, Joe says, bumping his shoulder with Nicky's as they walk out of the warehouse together. It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, Nicky hums. Joe laughs. I told you so. What now? Do we get to pick the pictures? They'll send me the shortlisted ones, and the comms and merchandising teams will decide which ones make it to the final calendar. Will you be involved in the selection? Of course, producer's privilege, though Ada has the veto, Joe sighs. For a good reason, I'm sure. Niccolo, you wound me. I only pick the best of the best, I'll have you know, Joe says, putting a palm over his heart in a gesture of mock hurt. Now I'm really dreading the selection, Nicky rubs his face. I think we're going to have trouble selecting your shots. Those animals are too cute. And that kitty, it really has your eyes. It's uncanny. You should adopt it. Sounds like love to me, Nicky chuckles. Something changes in Joe's voice. I would, but it wouldn't be fair to the cat. Nicky waits for him to elaborate. I wouldn't have time, Nicky. I won't be able to give it enough love. Not enough to justify keeping it anyway. Nicky nods. I understand. I never had pets after the one I had with me through school died. They fall into silence long enough that Nicky wonders if he's responsible for it. Joe breaks it. I would have you for dinner, though, I mean, he winces. I would have you over for dinner at my place. It's not far from here. Nicky exhales the breath he didn't know he was holding. All right.